Luther and Spike began their way down the Trogdon driveway, which had a slight decline to the street. Luther was behind the wagon, hanging on, letting it roll slightly. Spike clutched the trunk of the tree, terrified. Shiel peeked out his front door, and when he saw the theft with his own eyes, he punched the number for the police. The desk sergeant answered. "Yes, this is Walt Shiel, 1481 Hemlock. There's a burglary underway right now."
"Where?"
"Right here at 1483 Hemlock. I'm watching it in progress. Hurry."
Trogdon's tree made it across Hemlock to the other side, right in front of the Becker house, where now in the front window Ned, his wife Jude, and his mother-in-law were watching. Luther negotiated a right turn with the handle and began pulling the wagon toward his house. He wanted to sprint before anyone saw him, but Spike kept telling him to take it slow. Luther was afraid to look around. He didn't believe for a second that he was going unnoticed. When he was almost to his driveway, Spike said,
"Cops!"
Luther wheeled around just as the patrol car slowed to a stop in the middle of the street, lights flashing but no siren. Two officers jumped out as if it were a SWAT mission. Luther recognized Salino with the large stomach, then young Treen with the thick neck, the same two who had stopped by hawking calendars for the Police Benevolent Association.
"Hello, Mr. Crank," Salino said with a smirk.
"Hello."
"Where are you going with that?" asked Treen.
"To my house," Luther said, pointing.
He'd come so close.
"Maybe you better explain," said Salino.
"Yeah, well, Wes Trogdon over there let me borrow his Christmas tree. He left town an hour ago, and me and Spike here were just moving it."
"Spike?"
Luther turned and looked behind him, down at the wagon at the narrow gap where Spike had been. Spike was gone, nowhere to be seen on Hemlock.
"Yeah, a kid down the street."
Walt Shiel had a seat on the 50-yard line. Bev was resting, or trying to. His laughter got so loud that she came to see what was the matter.
"Pull up a chair, honey. They caught Crank stealing a tree."
The Beckers were howling, too.
"We got a report that a burglary was in progress," said Treen.
"There's no burglary. Who called?"
"A Mr. Shiel. Whose wagon is this?"
"I don't know. Spike's."
"So you stole the wagon, too," said Treen.
"I've stolen nothing."
"You have to admit, Mr. Crank, it looks very suspicious," Salino said.
Yes, under normal circumstances, Luther might be forced to say that the entire scene was a bit unusual, but Blair was getting closer by the minute, and there was no time to back down.
"Not at all, sir. I borrow Trogdon's tree all the time."
"We better take you in for questioning," Treen said, and unsnapped a pair of handcuffs from his belt.
The sight of the silver cuffs sent Walt Shiel to the floor. The Beckers were having trouble breathing, and Luther went weak at the knees.
"Come on, you can't be serious. Get in the back seat."
Luther sat low in the back, thinking of suicide for the first time in his life. The two cops in the front seat were chatting on the radio, something about finding the owner of the stolen property. Their lights were still swirling, and Luther wanted to say so much.
"Let me go. I'll sue. Turn off the damn lights. Next year I'll buy 10 calendars. Just go ahead and shoot me."
If Nora came home now, she'd file for divorce. The Kirby twins were 8-year-old delinquents from the far end of Hemlock, and for some reason, they happened by. They walked close to the car, close to the rear window, and made direct eye contact with Luther, who squirmed even lower. Then the Bellington brat joined them, and all three peered in at Luther as if he'd killed their mothers. Spike came running, followed by Vic Frohmeyer. The officers got out and had a word with him. Then Treen shooed the kids away and released Luther from the back seat.
"He's got keys," Vic was saying, and Luther then remembered that he did indeed have the keys to Trogdon's. What a moron. "I know both these men," Frohmeyer continued. "This is no burglary."
The cops whispered for a moment as Luther tried to ignore the stares from Vic and Spike. He glanced around, half expecting to see Nora wheel into the drive and have a stroke.
"What about the tree?" Salino asked Vic. "If he says Trogdon loaned it to him, then that's the truth." "You sure?"
"I'm sure."
"Okay, okay," Salino said, still sneering at Luther as if he'd never seen a guiltier criminal. They slowly got in the car and drove away.
"Thanks," Luther said.
"What are you doing, Luther?" Vic asked.
"I'm borrowing their tree. Spike's helping me move it. Let's go, Spike."
Without further interruption, Luther and Spike rolled the tree up the driveway, into the garage,
and grappled with it until it was sitting rather nicely in the front window. Along the way, they left a trail of dead needles, red and green icicles, and some popcorn. "I'll vacuum later," Luther said. "Let's check the lights." The phone rang. It was Nora, more panicked than before. "I can't find a thing, Luther. No turkey, no ham, no chocolates, nothing. And I can't find a nice gift either." "Gifts? Why are you shopping for gifts?" "It's Christmas, Luther. Have you called the Yarbers and Friskies?" "Yes," he lied. "Their lines were busy." "Keep calling, Luther, because no one is coming. I've tried the McTeers, Morris's, and Warner's. They're all busy. How's the tree?" "Coming along. I'll call later." Spike plugged in the lights and the tree came to life. They attacked the 9 boxes of decorations without a care as to what went where. Across the street, Walt Scheel watched them through binoculars.